You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Monday, May 15th, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning, alongside CCM Baseball's Matt Modica, the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson, and the King, Scott Engel. I am Greg Sussman. We are proud to be with you here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And finally, Scott, home on the Fantasy Sports Television Network.
Yeah, it's good to be back. It's good to be simulcast. Saying hi to everybody who watches us on everywhere: Cablevision, CenturyLink, Amazon Fire, Xbox, Apple TV, Roku. It's good to see you guys all again.
Absolutely. Matt Modica, your first experience here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, simulcasting on TV. How you feeling, my man?
I'm feeling good. This is my virgin voyage. I think some home runs are still flying out of Yankee Stadium as we speak. Yankees hit some of those.
They did. They made a bunch of bombs yesterday. Corey Parson.
Yo, Fantasy Executive is in the building.
In front of the mic.
Glad to be here. In front of the mic. I can talk for everybody, you know what I'm saying?
Official.
TV. Yeah, you don't have to worry about me, you know what I'm saying, laughing in the background. I'm on the microphone now.
Laughing in front of the mic.
You know what I'm saying, doing what I'm supposed to be doing, taking Adam Ronis, you know what I'm saying, away, and there you go right there, Fantasy Executive. I'm pumped up, Greg. What's good with you?
What's good, man? You know, how was everybody's Mother's Day?
Oh, mine was very good. I had a good time with Mom. I was even watching some of the Met game with Mom. She was
nice.
Getting into it.
Nice. Very, very cool. Didn't end so well, but...
No, not at all.
Yeah, let's get started. How was your Mother's Day, Scotty?
It was good. I went to visit my mom and...
She said you weren't going to do that.
No, of course I was going to do that.
Good.
I went to see my mom and then we took my wife out for a Mother's Day lunch.
Beautiful.
And, you know, had a nice time.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Fantasy Executive?
Everything went good, you know what I'm saying? Got to see... my mom's and my sister came through, my grandmother, so had a good time with them, you know what I mean? So, yeah, shout out to all the moms out there, you know what I mean? So, I feel good about motherhood.
You know, for
me... I mean, I'm not a mother, though.
No.
I'm a father. I got my days coming up in a month.
Yes. Well, my mom brought up the point, like, the Mother's Day and Father's Day should really be on a Saturday, because you got to drive home on Sunday night, and you have...
It's brutal.
It's awful, and you have work the next day. It was terrible. It was a very long drive. I was in Long Island yesterday at my aunt and uncle's house. And
how deep out on the island?
Pretty Northport.
Oh,
Northport. Yeah.
You know, that's where it was.
Lenny Melnick territory.
No, dude. Stop.
So, you're right, Scott.
Yeah.
So my uncle is always...
What's his name?
Scott.
Oh, okay, Uncle Scott.
Uncle Scott.
Yeah.
So he's always super... I mean, he's the young uncle. He's much younger than my mom.
Yeah.
So he was always the active one, him and his wife. They have three daughters. So you know what I did all day yesterday? My uncle and my cousin and her cousin and whatnot.
What's that?
I played spike ball.
Nice.
In the backyard.
Nice.
Played really a lot good. Of spike ball. So I felt great. It was a good Mother's Day.
Good Mother's Day workout.
It was a great Mother's Day workout. I watched the Yankee game. We all got around. This is great, Corey. You love this. We all sat around the couch watching the Jeter celebration.
I love it.
It felt very, very homely.
Did you
watch the playoff game?
Did I watch the playoff in the NBA?
Yeah.
Well, of course I watched the NBA playoff game. It was fantastic. It was a great day. But today, it's Monday. We're back. We got a lot of baseball to get to. We'll get to game one as well. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The Roto Experts in the Morning is live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Sports Network as well. Simulcasted here in New York studio. And Scotty, it's been a couple of months and years, I guess, since we've been back on TV.
Yeah, and here's the wonderful thing about being back on television. For the first time, people tune in can see our brand new Studio 34 here in Midtown Manhattan, where we're broadcasting live. You know, this is our very own facility. Dual purpose.
Can't believe that's what you wanted to say.
Yeah,
I guess I should.
I'm very proud of it. You know, it's
you're
like
very company,
when we were doing it on television before. This is our first broadcast from Studio 34.
All right, let's get into some sports here. Let's get into the sports.
Joy.
Look, Killjoy, I just want to talk about sports. Game one last night, the Spurs were up 20 at halftime and rolling right along, and then Kawhi gets hurt. And, of course, controversy abounds. That Zaza Pachulia, you know, was a little dirty last night. Kawhi Leonard says, listen, I don't think he tried to injure me. Of course, the tide turns. I think the Warriors go on a 16-0 run after Kawhi leaves the game and winds up taking game one. But the Spurs were handing it to them early on. Corey Parson, the obvious question is, Zaza Pachulia trying to injure Kawhi Leonard?
And, you know, obviously I'm sitting up here today with a Golden State Warrior hat on, so you can say that I'm biased, but by being somebody, being a student of the game,
fair weather,
being a student of the game, you do understand that that play is kind of borderline right there. Now, with a big running out to the perimeter, a big man running out to the perimeter like that, yeah, sometimes his momentum is hard to stop. But if you look at the play, it does appear that Zaza, like, kind of does a double tap to get up underneath the ankle of Kawhi Leonard. Zaza Pachulia has been known before for being a dirty player. Bruce Bowen, Dante Jones, also players that do things like this a lot. Now, Greg, if you do something
who did Bruce Bowen play for, though?
For the Spurs.
Right. And now the Spurs fans are complaining about this.
Yeah, of course. You know, that's how it goes. Yeah. That's how it goes in these
things.
There's
a story on Sports Grid this morning about that.
Yeah, and the Spurs fans are complaining about him. But this is still a different era, a different generation of Spurs basketball. But if you're on the playground and you do something like this, you're going to get your head knocked off.
Oh, there's no chance that Zaza's not elbowed in the face tomorrow.
You think something happens?
Yeah.
Retaliation for Zaza?
Sure.
Do you think it was a dirty play?
No.
Okay.
I don't either.
I don't think so neither. I mean, when I was really into the NBA, this was like a nothing burger compared to what I watched with the Knicks, with guys like Bill Laimbeer growing up.
He had his head turned the other way. The big thing is, though, is that what Greg pointed to, the Spurs went on the Warriors went on an 18-0 run after Kawhi Leonard came out. And every game in the regular season between these two teams, the three games, were decided by double figures. And this was the first time it was actually close.
Well, that's because both teams care now, right? Like, during the regular season, like, the first game.
But it was a blowout when Leonard was in there, though.
No,
could they have caught up without him?
I don't know. All I can tell you is that in one game, I think the first game the Warriors played, all the Warriors sat. And I think the next game, all the Spurs sat. So, like, I think the regular season with these two teams is a complete grain of salt. But you're absolutely right. It was a blowout when Kawhi Leonard was in there.
They were down at halftime by 20.
Yeah.
It's interesting about how the Warriors, like, talk about, you know, they want to spread the ball around and have all this balance and everything. And really, it was just the two superstars carrying him to the comeback.
Yeah, Klay Thompson, obviously, he's been slow, but he was excellent with his rebounding and his passing, his defensive presence yesterday. You do know at some point Klay is going to get hot, and he's a stone-cold assassin. He has games where he can beat you by himself, so... But yeah, you definitely see the two superstars, Kevin Durant.
74 points between the two of them.
Kevin Durant and Steph Curry carrying the load yesterday. Obviously, Draymond playing a big part of the comeback also. But still, though, back to the play. If you look at the play, when Zaza comes up, he does a double tap to try to get underneath it.
I don't know. I just watched it again.
You don't see it?
I watched it again this morning also because I knew this is what you'd bring up. And to me, I know what you're talking about with the double tap, right? Like, he does an extra stutter, right? Yeah. But he's not even looking at Kawhi. He's trying to box him out.
When he's coming down, it looks like incidental contact.
But your hand is up. You run to the defender. Your hand is up, right? But your body did not lean forward. But your feet went forward. See, that's right. That right there is what makes it look suspect. And then plus, if a player lands on your foot, your immediate reaction is going to be to see if that you're going to think, being a basketball player, you're going to think, oh my goodness, he landed on me. Let me see if he's okay. Zaza turned around and kept running up the court.
That's true.
Then they have the same thing with, like, Markieff Morris and Horford in the Washington series, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think you're looking at it objectively, and so are we. I mean, none of us are Warriors fans or
like
Spurs
me.
Fans here. None of us are. You know, so I think you're looking at it objectively, but I think three of us think it wasn't intentional, and you do.
All right.
Well, here's the thing. The guy had a bum ankle coming into the game.
Yeah.
And like I said, he's turning
away.
He's
twice,
not, like, looking at him. I can't call that a dirty play.
And let's also not forget that, as Scott just mentioned, he rolled it earlier in the game.
Right, that wasn't the first time he rolled it. So,
but Zsa Zsa knowing that, that's why he takes that extra step. I'm telling you,
I don't think
is he really athletic enough though to like you know kind of like orchestrate that. He's not the most athletic guy on that team.
I think, doesn't I know where his foot's landing.
If he tries that 9 out of 10 times, he misses his foot. That's the way I look at it.
I mean, I can understand it from that way, but I trust me, Zsa Zsa is Zsa Zsa gets down like that.
Yeah. I don't think so. I think, and I know this is the story today, but I think we're kind of making something out of nothing.
All right, I'm cool with it.
How about John Wall's three-pointer this weekend?
How about John Wall's three-pointer this weekend, Corey? Your Wizards survive on a terrible shot by John Wall.
Yeah, it was a bad shot, but they couldn't get the ball in. He came around the corner, and he did what the superstar players have to do, of course, tonight. They get to Game 7 at TD Bank. I wish saying the Boston Gardens, but, you know, they get the Game 7 at TD Bank. It's going to be interesting. That's a tough, tough spot for the Wizards.
You know, it's an interesting stat coming into Saturday night. And tonight, before that Game 6, every home team in the playoffs until then was 0-10 when facing elimination at home.
Wow.
That's very interesting.
That is. Yeah.
But in this series, the home team has not lost.
This one against it. Yeah.
Well, in this series, of course, the home team has not lost.
Yeah.
And tonight, in Boston, the Wizards got to get a win. Corey, you have said all along you expect the Wizards to win. You expect the Wizards to win this one. They got to do it tonight.
Yeah, you got to do it tonight at Game 7. It's going to be a crazy atmosphere.
Cavs are relaxed and rested.
I would not be surprised if they turned the air off in TD Bank today. Like that kind of
the thing that they did to the Lakers in the 80s.
Yeah, that kind of old stuff. Right? These another two teams that have played each other way too many times this season. Obviously, things have gotten chippy between Thomas and Wall and Morris and Olenek and Oubre. So it is going to be a wild night in Boston. Tonight, as the winner gets the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, and like I said, a rested Cleveland Cavaliers team that's mowed down the playoffs, mowed through everybody in their way, and I don't think that will change
no.
who wins.
Haven't the Wizards lost like 8 straight at TD Garden?
Maybe, yeah, it's a tough place.
Something like
it's a tough
that.
Place to play. Yeah.
You know who has won Game 7s in Boston? The New York Knicks. Back in the day, they won They won Game 7 in Boston.
The problem is, it's Knicks. Back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day. But listen, that play. Imagine that was LeBron James and not Kawhi Leonard. Zsa Zsa Pachulia would have been leaving the court in handcuffs.
That's true, too.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, you can't do that to King James.
Nor should you be able to do this to King James.
Exactly.
Yes, absolutely.
But his ankles are made of like steel.
Yeah, well, his body is just made of straight steel.
Is he Superman?
We'll get Jeff out a little bit later on.
I don't know. We need Jeff today.
You don't want me to break down injury?
I mean, we have a couple injuries we can get to.
Yeah, okay. More baseball injuries.
We have a couple baseball injuries. Of course, I'd like you to put your ankle on the table if you'd like to point to that.
My ankle?
Yeah, why not your ankle?
Why do you want to see my ankle?
Because I want to see your ankle.
This is not an athletic ankle.
You got some chankles over there?
Analyst ankle.
Exactly. These ankles sit in radio studios. They don't go to basketball courts no more.
So speaking of some injuries, the major injuries from this week, and we start with yesterday, perhaps the last injury, and that was A.J. Pollock leading the game with a groin injury. Of course, test today. But groin injury is what knocked A.J. Pollock out for good last year. I believe it was what he had in spring training this year. And now he's back, Scotty, with another groin injury. Of course, we don't know. It's too early to find out exactly how long he's going to be out. But you just don't want to see this crap with A.J. Pollock.
It's just like you're always worried when you're an owner. It's like, A.J. Pollock, injury. A.J. Pollock, injury. You know, this is just the latest one. The guy has been producing great, but it's always something. Just when you seem like you can get comfortable with him, stay in the lineup, something else comes up. And hopefully we know something before tonight, because lineup deadlines are like 6:10 p.m. Eastern. You want to know before you set your lineup for the week.
It's an early game tonight? It's a 6 o'clock start tonight?
Yeah, 6:10 p.m. Yeah.
Yeah, the Met game. Look, A.J. Pollock, the whole thing that kept A.J. Pollock out of the first round is injuries.
Yeah.
This is a borderline first-round talent. He contributes in every category, and it's a shame. This is what you got to hold your breath for.
A.J. Pollock, absolutely a five-category player, that the biggest concern was always the injury concern. Now, potentially out with a groin injury. But he wasn't the only potential five-category player that left yesterday, as Carlos Gomez injured his right hamstring yesterday, and he was 3 for 3. Now, Carlos Gomez has been on my, on my goodbye list for a while these days.
Yeah.
Batting 230 right now. He's got 4 homers, 4 steals. But he's been getting hits, and that's been good too. So He's an injury we have to get into. We get into all the baseball from the weekend, a couple more injuries as well. This right here, this is the Roto Experts in the Morning, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and now simulcasted live on the Fantasy Sports Network. All right, Carlos Gomez leaves the game with a right hamstring injury. MRI today, Matt Modica. I'm from a Carlos Gomez owner who has been struggling as of late. I don't have a DL spot available. If he goes on the DL, does he go off my team?
In a 12-teamer, I would like, depending upon the severity. If it's only like a 10-day and they think he's fine, I'm not going to drop him just yet.
Okay.
We're in the middle of May, and the weather out here on the Northeast and everywhere, like even in Colorado, like after April, that usually warms up too. It's still April weather here. So once this, you know, once it starts getting warm, look at the home runs that are being hit right now.
Sure.
Which, I mean, we are going to blow past the home run record this season. So, I mean, you have to be patient. Look at Jose Bautista this week. Last couple of games, he starts hitting home runs. You just can't be bailing on guys that have, like Corey would say, the back of the baseball.
Yeah, go ahead, Scotty. And yesterday, ESPN pointed out that it was the second most prolific day yesterday this season in terms of home runs. And with Gomez, like I said, you know, people say, okay, what's your panic date? Say, May 15th, start thinking about the panic.
Guess where we are, folks.
Mode. You're in that mode. And by June 1st, I said, if Jose Bautista doesn't start cutting it, I'm going to cut him. So I'm not cutting Jose Bautista. Right now is around the time of if these guys are going to play at a certain level, you figure they're going to come around. I have Carlos Gomez in our league, the Greenwich Street Tavern, and he's still going to give me counting numbers, even though the batting average is kind of low. I haven't even entertained cutting him.
Well, here's the most important thing. If you're going to cut any of these guys that have a proven record, who are you picking up? Is it really worth that pickup?
That's a 15-team really league? What's out there if you cut Carlos Gomez?
Well, it's not just a 15-team league. That's your league.
No, even in that 12-team league, are you going to pick up somebody that, like, just got hot for a week or two that was called up?
Sure.
I mean, a guy like Aaron Altair, yes, I would definitely.
Well, I wish I did that a month ago.
No, but I'm saying,
should have been like me.
Yeah, like Corey.
Hey, matter of fact, the addition of Altair actually allowed me to make a trade in Tout Wars this week, and I'm not really a big trade guy, but I needed some pitching, you know what I'm saying?
Who doesn't?
I traded my guy. I trade because I know that home runs are like.
You traded Jen Marway?
No, I didn't trade. Very funny. I know that it's going to be abundance of home runs, so I traded my home runs and Adam Duvall. Mm-hmm. But having Altair allowed me to do that, traded away Duvall, and I got Tanner Roark in return.
I like that trade a lot.
That's a nice little trade.
Fantasy executive. I'm trying to win championship. I have to beat that clown Adam Ronis. I wonder if he tipped his cap for Derek Jeter yesterday.
I did.
I don't think
I did.
Listen, I'm not a Yankees fan. I have nothing but utmost respect for Derek Jeter. He's been, you know, he's been an amazing player. He really he's a clutch player. But we talked prior, and I'm not saying he's a Hall of Famer. But I'm saying if he never made the postseason, I can make the argument that he's not a Hall of Famer.
But he did make the postseason. Why would we even entertain something like that?
Because I'm just saying.
If you take that away, it exists. Why would you take it away? The Yankees probably got to the postseason because they
are. We're making things based on a regular season play, is all I'm trying to say.
You're usually a very heady guy who I have a ton of respect for. But to say something like, if you take away all the postseason, it's like, it just doesn't make sense. It happened. Okay. It's like when people say, like in fantasy football, like if a guy runs for 150 yards and two touchdowns, well, if he didn't have that 75-yard touchdown run.
I question, if you took away the postseason stats,
why would you take it away?
Just say it never happens.
Let's play
a game.
Let's look at his rate. Let's look at his regular season.
I don't understand why even ask that question.
Sure, Matt, continue.
And you just look at the regular season. Sure. To me, he is a Hall of Famer.
He is, yeah. 3,400 hits, yeah.
But I am saying you can make a case that he is not based on the regular season stuff.
And well, I mean, 3,400 hits is probably going to get you.
That's a number that would get you in. But, you know, you hear other people, they get called compilers and stuff like that.
Sure.
And I'm just, I'm just making it. Yeah, baseball, you have a little fun.
I understand.
In terms of the overall stats, though, where he ranks among shortstops all time in the regular season, he's there. The Yankees. He's probably the reason why the Yankees got to a lot of postseasons itself.
He's never won a MVP. I mean, the Gold Gloves he got were after Omar Vizquel. I mean, he's made some of the most clutch defensive plays in the biggest times. But he is nowhere near a great defender. Cannot say that.
He's a very good defender, I think. I don't think you win 5 Gold Gloves by accident. Look, he's no Vizquel, I'll give you that, but I don't think you win 5 Gold Gloves by accident.
He was not a very good defender as a Yankee fan. I'm happy to tell you this.
I think later in his career.
How do you win 5 Gold Gloves if you're not a good defender?
Because the Gold Glove Award is not what it is today, where you use like UZR Ever since he hurt his shoulder like in 2003, he couldn't go right anymore. Like, if you just look in for it, and I know this is a bad example because it was his last year, Didi's first year, the amount of runs like saved by Didi and then the amount of runs saved by Jeter is like astronomical.
How about this? I mean, A-Rod.
Much
obviously, A-Rod came to the team. He went to third base at Jeter's team. No, there's no discussion on that.
A-Rod
was the better shortstop.
Oh, great.
There's no question.
Better arm, better range, no doubt about it. And I love, and Derek Jeter's my favorite player ever.
I am trying to tell you, as a Met fan, I have nothing but respect for Jeter. I am just bringing up an argument. This is baseball. This is what we do. Ernie Banks never made the postseason. Never made the postseason.
I'm with you.
With all due respect, I think maybe because you're a Met fan, you come up with that angle.
I'm
a Met fan. You're like, what if the guy never played in the postseason? It makes no sense to me.
But let's leave a question based on his regular season. That's all.
You leave the postseason alone, though, I'm still looking at a 310 with a 377 OBP. How many? 260 home runs. The hits speaks for themselves. 19 All-Star games. Finished second, third, and fourth in MVP voting. This is like a Hall of Fame career.
Ken Tremendous makes the point. I mean, pretty much any of the categories he led, I think it was 6 out of the 9 categories that he led in a season was at-bats.
Yeah. So
he led in hits, I think, like 2 or 3 times. Juan Pierre did that twice. He's just making it. I'm just trying to show you. I'm saying he's a Hall of Fame.
No doubt.
I'm just
first ballot, unanimous?
He's a first ballot for me. I wouldn't put him at 100%. I mean, I think like Ken Griffey is a 100% player. You know, guys like that.
But ambassador to the game, durability, career length. You don't think that makes him unanimous?
Sometimes with the Hall of Fame, though, they don't always take that into account.
I'm giving you the first ballot.
Okay.
I'm not putting him at 100%.
Okay.
I could see some people not doing that.
Let's get back to some of the...
Led the league in singles, runs scored, hits, league top 10. Like 5 Silver Slugger awards, and among all-time shortstops, he's like the leader in like at least 3 categories.
I'm never going to argue against you on Derek Jeter.
I feel like sometimes... Like, I'm the only Met fan who gives Jeter the respect he deserves.
I agree.
I'm saying the guy is... I've admired him. I've given him all the props. I'm saying he's a Hall of Famer. I think this is an interesting discussion.
I think you stick a button there, and it's like... You know, a lot of Met fans are going to stick a button there.
Stop with the Met fans. I'm the one that told you I gave up on the division a week ago. I'm a realistic fan.
Nobody outside of a Mets or a Red Sox fan, though, would come up with a scenario, what if the guy didn't play in the playoffs?
Ken Tremendous, who's well-respected in the baseball industry.
His real last name is Tremendous?
No, okay.
It's Michael Schur.
Yeah, he's making the points to why you could say Jeter is not a Hall of Famer. That's all. I think it's an interesting argument.
I need to
add
him.
That's what you do in baseball.
It's just like saying I'm going to add him.
To me, with no disrespect to you, I think it's a ridiculous argument. I think it's ridiculous.
Respect and not respect.
I think they get to the playoffs and they win 5 World Series because of Derek Jeter, and that's why he's one of the greats.
They won the World Series, yes. He batted .350, but I'm saying without it. I'm giving you a guy like Ernie Banks, and I'm giving you a guy like Derek Jeter. Ernie Banks, 19 seasons, Never went to the postseason.
They're different. They're different players. I think the Yankees get to where they get. They get to the playoffs because they got a guy like Derek Jeter.
We have different opinions, so we can move along now, Scott.
The Yankees also had the best team for how many years, too? I mean, seriously.
It sounds like a Met fan.
Why are you making that argument? That annoys me.
Because Matt,
the Met
as long as you're talking, Matt, as long as you're talking, Scott is going to respond.
So the Mets blow another one yesterday.
Good.
That's how I wanted to go next. I just thought it was a nice,
you know, nice segue.
Nice change right there. Yeah, thank you. There's a couple more injuries I wanted to get to after Carlos Gomez. Mainly Drew Pomeranz, because Pomeranz is pitching, you know, pretty all right. Pomeranz left with right triceps tightness. Now it didn't cost him any time in the spring. Similar injury. I don't know if he has this luck again. Drew Pomeranz, someone that's always dealt with the injuries. Here he is again. Injured the triceps. How concerned are you, Matty?
I'm very concerned. I mean, I like the pitcher. I would have taken him late, but just like you said, the spring, this has been a reoccurring theme. Is he just really a relief pitcher? I don't think he can handle the demands of being a starting pitcher, which is a shame because I think he does have talent. That arm does have talent, but, you know, this is just a reoccurring theme.
Remember we talked about Cole Hamels last week and, like, you know, how Ron Caffrey started sending out trade offers in his league when he got injured? I just got to bring up something of, like, don't offer a trade with somebody who just got injured in it. Pomeranz gets injured. I get an email in my inbox. Yeah, Pomeranz is injured, but it's not that bad. Can I offer you Pomeranz and Eddie for Chris Sale?
I love it.
This is what some fantasy owners do, Greg. No, guys get hurt, and then they try to throw them out in an offer.
Trade rooms, though. You can't stop that. That's
ridiculous.
I'm not a real big trade guy, but I always try to make an offer proper trades, because if I get a foolish trade, I leave it in my inbox. I don't even look at it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not giving you no response or nothing.
I'm giving you a response, and I'm blowing you up.
Whoa.
I hate the guy that tells you this is why you should do the trade.
What I'm talking about. Yes. This guy gave me a sales pitch I wanted to take.
I don't need a sales pitch.
Eddie and Pomeranz, who's not hurt that bad for Sale, because he's not that below Sale, and eventually he'll be an ace himself. Don't give me a sales pitch. I've been doing this
here's
forever.
The thing. If you want to do the sales pitch trade, you can't do it via email. You got to pick up the telephone.
What makes you think you can sell the guy anyway?
If you're not getting a top 10 hitter for Chris Sale,
how you doing?
There's no trade on the table.
How's your wife? Everything? Has she having a nice Mother's Day? Listen, you know, how's the kids? How's it work? You know, and then you start to progress into it.
Not buying a used car.
It's got to own it.
Hey.
When we return, we'll actually talk about the Mets and their collapse yesterday, as well as a whole lot of other stuff. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network and the Fantasy Sports Television Network. Well, the Met fans were fighting in that corner of the room. The team was losing in a brutal fashion yesterday. The Mets fell to the Brewers by the score of 11-9. And this is a game that they were up 7-1 in, cruising right along. And as a Jacob deGrom owner, will you close your mouth, please?
I love this. I love it, though. I love how Scott is getting into it right now. He's really jamming. He's feeling the groove.
Greg's like, can you close? Greg just doesn't understand what guitarists
do. It's the mouth part that I don't understand.
I'll explain to you, Pop Baby, all right? When rock and roll guitarists, like, play their instrument, you know, they just feel it.
They get into it.
But you know, aren't playing a real instrument.
But I'm simulating it. And if I got to do it, I got to do it right.
Like,
you know,
a simulated game.
Yes.
Sure. Yeah, like a simulated game.
Tyson Ross was a simulated game yesterday.
I didn't get no tickets. I like it, Greg.
It's like when you watch NSYNC, man. You want to have, like... No, I'm serious. Like, you want to be on point with the dance movement. It's choreography. You're feeling the music.
Yo.
You know how when you sing on air and you feel the music? That's my way of feeling the music.
All right, fair enough.
What do you think about the NSYNC comparison?
I'm trying to speak his language.
No, but I'm saying that's like the most poppy comparison you can possibly make.
It's whatever. The Mets didn't feel the music yesterday.
It was the massacre in Milwaukee this weekend.
Is that what we're calling it? The massacre in Milwaukee?
Yes. I like it. And if you look at the Mets last season, their starting pitchers had the third best ERA, team ERA. This season, their starting pitchers have the worst.
Yep.
Worse than the Cincinnati
Reds. And it was
Reds.
Second coming into the weekend.
Worse than the Reds. It's terrible. Yeah. Milwaukee sweeps the Mets, and they complete it yesterday. Jake DeGrom was pitching well until my man Keon Broxton got to him in that sixth inning.
Your man.
Yeah, he's my man now.
Oh, you're a fair weather guy, Greg.
For sure.
No, you're really like that. Like,
wait
you said,
a minute.
Yeah.
Hold on. Greg never cut the guy.
I never cut him. At no
never
point
cut
that I cut
the
him.
Guy.
No point that I cut him.
Okay.
I complained that I bitched about him.
You complained about it for a long time.
You considered it, but you never did it.
No. You guys talked me out of it. I didn't do it.
You never cut him. I'm with you.
I cut Kevin Kiermaier, though, for sure.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I actually benched Kevin Kiermaier this weekend, and he had a great weekend.
It distracted Kevin Kiermaier. He found out Sussman caught him, and he was letting like balls roll under his glove for a
while. Well, we're going to hopefully talk to the sports psychologist about that this week.
Yes,
so
tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning. I'm going to be excited. We're going to talk about Kevin Kiermaier's struggles. Yes. So, okay, so you had Jake DeGrom go, and then the bullpen just blows him. Blevins, Salas, Edgin, Reed.
Even Reed.
The interesting thing with Addison Reed, even though he blew that home run yesterday, he went as high as like $500 and pretty much anywhere from the high threes to the mid fours in NFBC Fab last night.
Yeah, here's the thing. Like, I was looking at it, I said, oh, I got DeGrom in two leagues. I'm going to get a win.
Yep.
I take a nap. I wake up. You know, they're losing. You talked about how bad the starters' ERA has been. Like, none of that is on DeGrom, and there was another game yesterday where DeGrom didn't have his best stuff for an inning. It seems to be like a pattern with DeGrom where, like, whether it's the beginning or the end, like, he doesn't have his best stuff for an inning or two, but still, he's striking out a ton of guys.
Well, just to, and the Mets bullpen has the sixth worst ERA in baseball.
Yeah, Mets pitching staff is
you took a nap when the Mets were on?
Yeah.
So you didn't watch the game?
No, I caught.
Oh, you're a fair weather fan. You don't watch the game. Watch the game.
See,
you took
I watched
a nap
the beginning
when the game
and the
was
end.
On.
I watched just about every game. I'm not
you
like
took a nap.
I'm
yesterday,
not,
you
I'm not
took
like
a nap.
You when the team is losing that I find another team to root for.
Yesterday you took a nap.
You can never question my loyalty.
You wait a minute.
You
said that I don't watch.
You
said that I don't watch the game.
You're a Knicks fan. Where the Warriors at?
The Warriors my West Coast team. The Dubs my West Coast team.
Fair weather fan.
You get on me about not watching the games, and you did not. You took
when
a
was the
nap
last time you watched the Yankee
yesterday.
Game?
I watched last night.
Yeah, that was the first time in how many weeks?
Don't worry about what I do.
You only watch the Mets and your fantasy teams.
Well, there's some interesting things that happened yesterday in this game.
Okay.
Sure. On the flip side, Corey Knebel, who up until Thursday was the setup guy and a guy that I was hoping to maybe get some cheap bids on this weekend.
Nope.
And, you know, Feliz blew up and. Now,
well, I think my favorite part about that whole story was, we're going to give Naftali Feliz a mental break, pitching him in lower lever situations, except we're going to really pitch him in the eighth and just Knebel in the ninth, just flip-flop him. And Knebel got the job done yesterday, his first save of the year, and he just continued his dominance.
He's the guy that I would rather have rest of the season over
Reed? Really?
He's got better skill. I mean, Reed has given up the home runs. The home runs have hurt Reed. I still like Reed.
Yeah.
If I had the choice, I would go with Corey Knebel.
Knebel has been their best reliever, number one. And number two, even if he doesn't close games, he can help you in ratios and everything else.
It's true.
Absolutely. He should be picked up just on ratios, and then look what happens.
For Milwaukee, I mentioned Keon Broxton's fourth home run of the year. He's now has four home runs and nine steals for those that are counting. Jonathan Villar hit his fifth homer of the year. And Villar up to 222, up to 287. All right, making a little, doing a little something here. Matty Pena had his second home run of the year. Nice day for Matty Pena. He was 2 for 5. He had three ribbies, a couple of runs scored. And my man, Hernan Perez, 2 for 4, and he played three positions. He played more positions yesterday than hits.
Wow.
That was interesting.
Yeah, and with Pena was nice to see because he had been cold for about a week and a half, and Travis Shaw left this game with a groin injury. That's something that you'll have to monitor before the 6:10 p.m. deadline tonight, Greg.
Absolutely, no question about it. But I'm telling you, for you Hernan Perez owners, things are going very swimmingly for you right now in Milwaukee. For the Mets, let's talk about the good. We talk about the bad. Let's talk about the good. And the good starts probably ends Michael Conforto. He's just been outstanding this year with his ninth home run of the season. Now batting the .300. The average is at .343. The OBP is at .430. He was what, a double away, single away from the cycle yesterday?
Yes.
He was just outstanding, and he's a bright spot now, playing every day. You don't have to worry about his playing time. And this is what I know Scotty, Mets fans, have hoped for a very long time for Michael Conforto.
Yeah, and among them, Matt Modica, really beating the drum for that, in the preseason. Conforto last year in the first month got off to a great start, then just fell apart. but has worked a lot with Kevin Long and worked a lot in his swing during the offseason. And you see the results. This guy is a real natural hitter. And actually, I heard this last year.
Oh, okay.
I heard this last year. Conforto has actually drawn comparisons to Mattingly by a lot of experienced baseball people.
Well, that's good to see because Mattingly was a great baseball player when his back was good.
Oh, Mattingly was fantastic.
He was one of the best pure hitters we've
ever
loved
seen. Watching that guy hit back in the 80s and stuff. It really was a treat.
It's interesting that he was like the big surprise yesterday.
But waiting for the butt.
One captain to another. Scott won't let it go.
No. I thought the surprise would be Jordan, but the surprise was Mattingly.
Okay, yeah. Mattingly's cool.
You thought I was going to say, who, cool? Jordan?
Not you. I'm not talking about you.
Mattingly was cool. Michael Jordan would have been amazing.
It was fine. Like, Mattingly's always around. Like, he's not that big of a surprise.
He's not really. No, he's not always around. You hardly see him in the Bronx. You know what I mean?
He's mad. Well,
you got things to do.
Well, you know why he did that? Because they're just about to be his boss.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That was the funniest thing.
But that must suck for him. Like, I struggled with this team for all these years. I leave, you start winning damn World Series. I get out of town, I get my life together, and now you're my boss.
Right. And that was my favorite.
I'll always
be a Yankee until I buy the Marlins.
Well, the thing about Michael Conforto that I think might be the best thing that could have happened to him was last season's struggles. He was young. He had that great month of April. We were all Met fans like MVP.
The two home runs in the World Series game. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, it just went south. I mean, it went really bad. And this kid's just proven it. The Mets wanted to kind of maybe put him in the minors to start the season. He made it as a bench player, and injuries have forced him in. And, you know, I'm just excited to see what happens.
When they were talking about starting him in the minors, just like most of the Mets are like, why? You know, just why? You know, I know Matt thought that.
Well, here's the thing. With guys like Conforto and even like Cody Bellinger, in deeper leagues, you can't really do it in 12-team leagues unless you have like an NA spot.
Sure.
But in deeper leagues, especially like draft champions, you gotta take guys late reserve rounds and stuff, or even later if you have that option, on talent. Because talent will usually win out.
There you go. I've always said that. The talent always figures out a way to win. Talent wins. Like, that's why I'm here today. Remember last year this time, they were trying to hold me back.
I fully support that, Corey.
Talent wins out. I was telling them the whole time the talent wins out. I'm proof that talent wins out.
Now, I heard this about Justin Upton last year.
What?
I want to ask this about Greg Epin. Talent always wins out. Is that going to be eventually the case with Puig?
Not in L.A.
Wow.
Not in Los Angeles. Until this year, I drafted Yasiel Puig every year, because I thought that talent would win out. He was so I used to pick him for my MVP because I thought, I mean, he's that talented, he's that skilled. I don't think it wins out in Los Angeles anymore. I think the time in Los Angeles to be successful has passed. Is a guy that desperately needs a change of scenery.
Yeah, I spoke to a former Major League general manager who said exactly what you said, that if he sticks in LA, it's never going to happen. He gets a change of scenery, that guy's going to explode.
Up until a few days ago, he had more double plays than extra base hits.
That's a bad one.
He homered yesterday.
That's
terrible.
That's a bad one. He did, you know, he did homer yesterday. Now, I believe LA gets ready for a series with the San Francisco Giants. A little rivalry game there. And I know, Scotty, you, sir, had the opportunity to talk with Rod Woodis, which we'll hear in a few moments.
Yeah, the bench coach of the San Francisco Giants, and coaches always make some of the best interviews. So always looking forward to that.
In yesterday's Dodgers game, they fell to the Rockies 9-6. In this four-game series, it was a split between the Dodgers and the Rockies. Yesterday's the Rockies put up 9 runs. Colorado, this is what happens, Corey. Is 15,
every now and then.
15.
Unless runs. Alex Wood pitches in Colorado.
Unless, I know Matt wants to talk about Alex Wood. But it was a 9-6 victory here for the Rockies. Sensatella gets his 6th win of the year.
How about that?
6-1 this guy is.
Yeah, look at that. Yeah. Sensatella.
Well, it wasn't that good of a start, but, you know, he was able to get the job done.
Why are you running on his parade?
And Holland got his 16th save.
That's unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jose Urias, he got the Coors Field effect. He got up six runs in 4 innings. My man Nolan Arenado hit his 9th homer of the year. And then I want to talk about this guy Pat Valeka, because
he says his name very well.
Scott says his name very, very well. So I want to talk about that as well. We'll talk more Dodgers and Rockies when we return, but Ron Wotus is up next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Rangers at the Park every single day here, 8:55 a.m. Eastern Time. And today, as Scott says, he likes to talk to the coaches because it's a unique perspective. And Scotty, you got an opportunity to talk to the bench coach of the San Francisco Giants, Ron Wotus.
Yeah, Ron Wotus, every time the Giants come down, always has something interesting to say. Coaches often make the best interviews and give us terrific insights. They're very straightforward and authentic. So here is some of my roto experts at the park with Ron Wotus.
Well, you know, Eduardo's got all kinds of a talent, as you well know. He started off as our third baseman, and because of the injuries and our outfield situation, he's been playing a lot of left field for us. Then Crawford went down. He's been playing shortstop. So he's been moving around. He's really saved us in that regard. Offensively, he hasn't found his stride yet. He's had some very good games. But like I said, he's got a lot of talent. And we're hoping that he can really carry the load because he has that type of ability. And when he gets on, he can steal a base. So he's an important offensive player for us.
You know what's amazing? You know what's amazing about that is that you talk about how insightful these coaches' interviews are, and he never brought up the fact that Eduardo Nunez is like the worst fielder in the MLB, which is great. He can play shortstop error, third base error, left field error. He forgot all about that.
Well, always be positive.
Well. You know, he's trying to be positive, but you hear the rest of the interview on Audio Boom, on iTunes, on Google Play, and it'll be up digitally on rotoexperts.com this week. You know, he's talking a lot about how they need Nunez, though, because now he's playing left field and Hunter Pence now could be headed to the DL. A lot of people didn't think that Nunez was going to give him anything coming over from the American League. A lot of fantasy analysts didn't believe in, like, the power, the speed, et cetera. But right now, he's hitting .254. He hasn't homered yet. He's got 9 stolen bases, but the power really hasn't been there. They like his versatility. That's why they acquired him. But, fantasy production really hasn't been there yet.
No, it hasn't. I believe half those steals came in like the first 3 days of the season.
Yeah, he started off really hot, as you said, in the stolen base category. I think he stole a couple yesterday. But, I mean, for me, if I was taking Nunez, it was on speed. He's coming to a park that's not really homer-friendly. It's, you know, the American League, the American League Central, too. He had some good ballparks. So, for me, he wasn't a guy that I love, but he does have that speed factor. He's going to play every day. He can get you 30 stolen bases.
And he's got multi-positional eligibility. And of course, to your point, a coach is not going to say, okay, the guy stinks in the field, but he said, look, Eduardo has not hit his stride offensively yet. And this whole team, they've been in the bottom of the National League and run scored an offense throughout the whole year. They've been the worst in the National League. The Royals have been the worst in the American League, Greg.
Yes, they have, no question about it. Yesterday, for the Giants, by the way, the Shark finally picks up his first win of the year.
Yes.
6 2/3, 3 runs, 8 strikeouts, allowed 9 hits. I still hate this guy.
You have
in his last 3 starts, he has 28 strikeouts and no walks. And this is the guy right here who keeps the faith in him, Matt.
It's not that I even love Samardzija, but yet, and like even in a 12 team, he has a use. He's going to get you innings. He's got a tremendous strikeout rate this year. You can't say I hate him. Look, his past, he was .434. He's a guy that can give you .380 ERA. I mean, it's like a 2-point difference, ERA minus FIP. And if you're picking him up now or getting him cheap in a trade, you're getting the stats from here on, not that .530 ERA.
I do. And the reason I say I hate him is because, listen, I'm not saying it's not a use for him because he's going to pitch 6-plus innings. He's going to get you 8-plus strikeouts. I just can't stand that big inning where he's going to let up 4 home runs.
Is he like sort of the American League, the National League version of what Danny Salazar does and drives you crazy, gets a lot of strikeouts?
In a way, but I feel like he walks less guys than Danny Salazar does.
He does.
Yeah. He reminded me a lot of Michael Pineda last year because if you look at the numbers that he has, there's so many good things, yet so many bad things come out.
Brandon Bell hit his 7th home run for the Giants yesterday, and the biggest news for the Reds is Amir Garrett will be back this week from the minor leagues.
Yeah.
To make a start. You're excited about that. And by the way, Billy Hamilton's up at .253. Ring the bell. Boom! When we come back, we'll get back to the Dodgers and the Rockies, and I'll school Scott on the Nationals. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Network.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two of the Roto Experts in the Morning is live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Alongside the Fantasy Executive, the King, and CTM Baseball's Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Gentlemen, we were talking a moment ago about Yasiel Puig and the Dodgers, who went into Colorado and put up a ton of runs, as you tend to do in Colorado. And,
Not all the time.
You know, you tend to do it in Colorado, was the point.
Okay, but I'm just saying, I'm not stacking my...
Well, we'll talk in just 1 second now. It's not all the time, as Matt wants the highlights. We'll get there in a second. But yesterday, Corey Seager had his sixth homer of the year. His first since April 27th, by
slow
the way.
Not really a slow start.
I mean, he's got six home runs, about 283, the OBP 375. It's five for Corey Seager. Now, how about your boy? I don't even want to say it until Scott says it again. The replacement shortstop in Colorado, Scott.
Valleca.
He does say that great. Yes.
Valleca.
It's not Valleca anymore?
No, it's Valleca.
So you were saying it wrong. Okay.
Yes. I'm looking up the correct pronunciation. Right. It's still, I can let it smoothly roll. Valleca.
So Pat Valleca hit his two home runs yesterday, his second and third of the year.
Dos.
He's filling in for Trevor Story, Corey. Yeah. 268-302. Is Pat Valleca somebody that we should pick up?
I don't think so. I need to see a little bit more from Mr. Valleca before I start spinning.
Plays in Colorado, though.
This is true, too. You got the Colorado factor, but I don't know. I just can't be wasting time with dudes like this. I like players with track records. You feel what I'm saying?
I hear you, Corey, but Greg just said, he plays in Colorado. You have to be interested in a guy like that. I'm not saying he's going to keep this up. It could just be a hot week and stuff like that. But especially with all the injuries that we've had in these first 6 weeks.
Got to play somebody.
He has to be a person of interest.
Yeah, so in the minors early this season, like only 11 games, 267. But in his minor league career, he's a 261 hitter with 36 homers and 433 at bats. So there is some power there for Pat Valleca. And like you guys say, you know, Coors, the guy's got some pop. He's going to get some regular bats. You got to take a flyer. A lot of people did last night. And look, this is the type of guy who comes up. A lot of times with young guys, they start out hot. Mm-mm. Sometimes they flame out, and then it's up to them to see how they adjust.
Not for my team. I'm looking at his picture. I don't want him on my team.
He
looks like a nerd.
But that's a good thing nowadays. Nerds are in. So.
Yeah, I don't think I want this guy on my team either. I have to look at the picture.
You see his picture, and it's like, I don't want him in my clubhouse.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm with you.
Bad vibes.
You don't want him in your fantasy team because of the way his picture looks.
I don't want him in my clubhouse, Scott.
I'm with him. I understand it. I don't want to bring my team down. Anyway.
They're going to make fun of him. They're going to be like, look at him, nerd.
I don't want to do that.
Nobody does that anymore. It's not 1984.
It's bad for the chemistry. Yeah. It's bad for the chemistry.
What happened to you in 1984, Scott?
What happened to you? Your fearful will be calling nerd.
We're taking a break. We'll come back. More Roto Experts in the Morning right after this. Before I move off of Colorado, of course, you got to give it out to the Sandman, obviously. The Oregon played it last night, Corey. That was cool.
Yeah, Sandman.
The Oregon playing Inter Sandman was cool yesterday.
Always good to see Mo.
Always good. I do want to throw it out to you, Matty Mo, because one of the games in Colorado that did very, very little scoring was, of course, when Alex Wood pitched. Wood, six shutout innings, 10 strikeouts in Colorado, in Coors Field. You've been on Alex Wood since the spring, 2.27 ERA through May 15th.
I'm very excited about Alex Wood. On the flip side, this is a guy that's been injured before. We have to be a little cautious, so the excitement's there. In his 30 innings as a starting pitcher, he has a 35% strikeout rate, a 61% ground ball rate. And he's not getting lucky because the BABIP is .338, the left on base is 71%, and the FIP and XFIP are both under 2. I'm extremely excited, but I'm very cautious. I mean, look at the Dodgers. Any little thing, you'll see him on a 10-day DL. The Dodgers are going to finagle this new rule. So just like I said, be excited, but also be a little worried too.
This was a guy in Atlanta where just like he pitched well, and a lot of times it just didn't get the run support with some bad Braves teams. He's got a very funky delivery, the way the ball that just like kind of really comes out of like a very unique angle at hitters. And he does come from an organization that's known for good pitching there. And Dodger Stadium, you know, that high mound's always an advantage. I think there's a lot to like about Alex Wood.
Oh, they have a high mound at Chavez Ravine?
Yeah.
I didn't know. Is that legal?
Always been known for
every
like the
mound's
mound.
A little different. You know, some pitchers like love pitching at certain parks, and some pitchers can't get comfortable at certain parks. You know, like with Wood, he's picked up 2 mph on his fastball. Look at a guy last night like Charlie Morton who's throwing like 98, 99. So velocity is very important to taking that next step.
Yeah, and you always have to distinguish between your fastball and, you know, whatever, and your off-speed pitches. You know, you can't, when you look at certain pitchers, I forgot what I was talking about last week, like his fastball was like 88 and, you know, his changeup was like 86. But
that was the problem with Felix Hernandez. Like, yeah, you know,
that was one,
year,
yeah.
So.
Speaking of fastballs and speaking of velocity, Aroldis Chapman hits the DL on Saturday or Sunday morning with an injury. And it looks like it's just, you know, going to keep him out for a month and it'll rebuild up that strength and it'll be okay. But Aroldis Chapman is going to be out a month for the Yankees, which means Dellin Betances is going to be the closer. And I have to imagine if Betances is out, Tyler Clippard will be the next guy up for the Yankees if you're absolutely desperate. But Betances for the next month, the new closer of the New York Yankees. So, want to just give that out there. Speaking of the Yankees,
rotator cuff inflammation.
You want to get Jeff out? Jeff's right here for that.
Yeah. While he's getting Jeff, our resident skeleton there, it's like Betances is a guy who's like been a little bumpy at times as a closer. So, you make the point about Clippard, and I've seen Clippard as a speculative pick.
Yep.
A pickup in a lot of leagues, which is good because we always talk about anticipating who could be the next guy. I would not even be surprised to see those two guys share because Clipper doesn't always have the stuff to close.
So we'll see there. Betances is the guy, I think.
He throws harder, but we've seen him melt sometimes.
We've seen Clipper melt as well, though.
Yeah, but Clipper's more not about, you know, he just doesn't throw nearly as hard and can't dominate hitters like Betances, but Betances, for whatever reason, tends to get wild sometimes.
Sure.
You know, when he's in those situations.
Sure, absolutely. So Aroldis Chapman has his right rotator cuff soreness here, Corey. Now, is it right rotator cuff or left? Because he throws left. He's left hand here. So if it's right rotator cuff, I don't really care.
Yeah, well, see, here's the thing right here. Basically, what happens is this area of the
what Corey's doing right now is on the skeleton, he's grabbing the shoulder.
Of the skeleton, the rotator cuff area of the skeleton right here. So basically, it's just some pain, some inflammation in this area right here. Yeah. More than likely, obviously, pitched deep into the postseason last year. He had many different things going on with his arm, you know, so pitching more than he used to. So he probably got a little tightness, a little bit of discomfort.
Probably going to be that one, though.
This one right here,
that's
too.
That's the arm he throws with, yeah.
This one right here, it's probably some comfort, some discomfort in this area right here.
He's just grabbing the back of the shoulder here.
Oh, well, real quick. I'm sorry.
Sure, certain. Go ahead, Matt.
Remember last week when you diagnosed Robbie Cano that should be out for like, you know, a couple of weeks?
I told you.
After that monster game he had the next day,
he went out.
He hasn't been playing.
He hasn't been played since. Yeah, so there you go, right there.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's basically he's got some pain, some discomfort in this joint right here.
Left rotator cuff right over there on the back of the shoulder. It's got soreness. He'll be out for like a month.
Yeah.
And do you think just rest will cure that, Corey?
Rest cures this right here. They'll get him on some painkillers. Not marijuana, but some other kind of painkillers.
Probably not the other one, the cholesterol or whatever. Probably not that one.
I don't know. Yeah, probably not. Yeah. No. So there you go. That's the latest for Aroldis Chapman. Now Chapman will about a month from now be back. But Dellin Betances, my neighbor, my guy, you know what I'm saying, up from around the way, he gets a chance to lock down saves. More than likely, he's not on your waiver wire.
Probably not. No.
Yeah, but the biggest impact isn't fantasy. It's MLB. The Yankees have been playing so well. And now it's going to put the stress because that bullpen was set up so nice. And
yeah.
The starters only had to go like 6 innings, 5 innings. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, who's coming up, who's going to step up. I mean, guys have stepped up for the Yankees.
Yeah.
But this next month will be interesting to see how that rotation holds
up. What do you think they need to stop playing CC Sabathia?
Who's the options?
Well, you say they have to stop playing CeCe Sabathia.
$25 million.
Yesterday, you have Masahiro Tanaka and you have Luis Severino, arguably the top two starting pitchers for the New York Yankees, and they both got absolutely wrecked yesterday. Now, Severino had 3 runs and 2 and a third. He threw like 80 pitches, and he looked bad. And then Tanaka, I literally got in the car, and then I looked at my phone to see the score. I'm like, what? It's 6-0.
As soon as they sang the national anthem, it started happening.
Severino, he had now 9 base runners and 2 and a third. And, you know, he was pretty much out of there quickly in the way that he'd been working so efficiently. It was a little bit of a shock. And this was actually Tanaka's worst start of his entire career.
Yeah, with Severino, I mean, he's young. He's going to have these little blips. You're not going to have it every day. And he's still maturing in his as a starting pitcher. So I can give him that one. The thing with Tanaka that's really surprising to me is when I look at everything else, the ground ball rate's above 50%. The swinging strike rate is at an all-time high. Obviously, this is a small sample. The first pitch strike is 63%. I mean, he's given up 15, 22, 20, and now 10 home runs this season. So, I mean, he's only 43 innings in. So this is kind of crazy. I'm actually a little confused here.
Do you think, like, after the way that he got bombed yesterday, though, that there might be an injury? Because sometimes we see guys that get bombed like that, and the next thing we know, they hurt.
So
we hear that they hurt.
So I'm glad you brought that up, because Rich Eisen tweeted out last night. Hold on.
From the Rich Eisen show?
From the Rich Eisen show, yes. Yes. He tweeted out, quote, "We appear inexorably hurtling towards the first and fourth annual Tanaka's dead arm / injury whispers of the season, if not the first DLing." So there you go. You're whispering about this injury. We know he's got the elbow issue in him. He's got the torn UCL, which he pitches through. So now people start whispering about it. And the home runs have been constant. They were flying out of Yankee Stadium all day yesterday, as we saw with Aaron Judge, with Starling Castro, with Brett Gardner for the Yankees, George Springer, Alex Bregman, and so on and so forth. Is there an injury here? If there is, Yankees are in big trouble because they just don't have the manpower anymore.
Well, what they had, though, was a luxury. You know, now it's not like they get desperate in a sense, because you have two guys that can do it. You know, the other interesting to me on the other side, Greg, was that was Bregman's first home run of the year.
Okay. It was a grand slam, so it was a nice time for that first home run of the year. For Bregman, it was his only hit of the day. He was 1-for-8 on the day. Of course, he made the one count, obviously, with the grand slam. Bregman, by the way, I know he had his first home run. He's off the 258, and he was really, really struggling. And as Matt likes to say, you get the stats going forward. Is Bregman somebody we should be targeting?
Yes, I do believe so, because this is a kid that can hit the ball. In college, I mean, he was just a beast. He's on a very good team. Last season, when he first came up, the first couple of weeks, he was terrible. He had like an 0-something average. He turned that around like the last 6 weeks of the season. And yeah, I'm a Bregman fan. In a deeper league, nobody cut him. Maybe in a shallower league.
No, because I'm talking about as a trade target potentially.
Oh yeah, these are
buy low.
Yeah,
yeah. The guys you have to target are the guys who got off to the bad start that you expected good. If you did like research and you expected these guys to be good, and after 6 weeks they've struggled, those are the guys to go after.
Yeah, absolutely. Like the Jose Bautistas, the Edwin Encarnaciones, you know, guys sure. like that.
Absolutely.
Do you have Bregman anywhere?
I do not. I don't own Bregman anywhere. I wanted him everywhere, and I just didn't get him. It just didn't fall in my direction.
Right.
But so I'm interested in Alex Bregman now. Hey, Corey, yesterday Brett Gardner in the first game, in the second game, rather, he was 3-for-4, scored a run at an RBI, and then that first game went 3-for-5, 3 runs, and of course, hit his 6th home run of the year. We talked about Brett Gardner and guys that struggled early. Gardner's now up to .289 with a .381 OBP. Brett Gardner has really turned the season around.
Yeah, Brett Gardner is definitely doing a good job. If you were somebody, dollar make you holler, took a gamble on Gardy late, you got to like hitting about .290, 7 home runs, 5 stolen bases. The stolen bases have kind of disappeared, but Brett Gardner is getting the job done, so he deserves to be in lineups in 12-team leagues.
He's remade himself, which is interesting. Like, 2 years ago, I think, we saw some semblance of power in Gardner, and then it fell off. But to his credit, he's remade himself as a player. And this was a guy that went undrafted in a few leagues.
When we return, I know we're always looking for saves. I'm going to tell you why Washington still is not the place to look. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, simulcasting live on the Fantasy Sports Network. So we talk about closers almost every day. Trying to find one. Trying to discover one. And in Washington, we've had the same conversation.
He's popping and locking. It's hard to do this. It's hard to concentrate when Scott is popping and locking to 50 Cent's Candy Shop. You feel what I'm saying? It's very distracting. If you were sitting where I was sitting, you would see, like, this is hard not to watch this take place. Speaking of 50 Cent, that's the worst first pitch in the history of...
No, Baba Booey, maybe, from Howard Stern.
Oh,
you
did
ever
I
see that one?
They let him throw out a first pitch?
Yeah.
When they going to let me throw out
way
one?
Way to the left.
But
Greg, you were in a groove. You're doing your thing. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Greg. Sorry.
We were, since February, trying to speculate on the Washington Nationals closer. We all assumed Sean Kelly. Then it was Blake Treinen. Then it was Coda Glover. Then it was Blake Treinen. Then it was back to Sean Kelly. Then it was Coda Glover. Then it was Matt Albers. Then it was back to Sean Kelly. This is where we are. 10 changes in 3 months at the closer position in Washington. I said it last week, and I'm going to say it again. I do not want to get involved in the Nats closing situation. And yesterday's doubleheader was the prime example for me. Both Kelly and Glover come off the DL on a Friday together. It was assumed Kelly goes back. I assumed, at least, Kelly goes back in the role initially. Maybe Glover takes over. Yesterday, game one, it's set up with Sean Kelly coming in the ninth. For the save, he gets rocked. But who allows the game-winning RBI single? The guy that comes in after Sean Kelly, Coda Glover. Both of these guys, two of them, let up all these runs.
Wash your hands of this situation.
The guy that was the closer in the interim while they were on the DL was Matt Albers. He let up a hit in the seventh, pitch fine otherwise, other than that. Or in the eighth, was totally fine. Last night, and I get it, Sean Kelly and Coda Glover both just came off the DL. I realized that. Last night, second game of a doubleheader. Nats up 1-6-5, top of the ninth. Who comes in? Matt Albers. Matt Albers pitches a 1-2-3 ninth. His ERA on the year sits at .61. You sit here today on May 15th, and if the Nationals need a save tomorrow, guy pitched twice today, not pitching today, but a guy pitched, so tomorrow, one run game in the ninth inning. I cannot sit here and honestly say to any of the three of you that I have any idea who is going to come into the ninth, whether it's Glover, whether it's Kelly, whether it's Matt Albers. Until the Nationals acquire a closer, and I promise you, they are going to, whether it's in Kansas City, whether it's from Tampa Bay, whether it's from Chicago, they're going to acquire somebody to close. And until they do, I want nothing to do with the situation.
I'm with you.
It's only going to give me a headache and piss me off and get me annoyed that I don't have the right guy every single night.
And here's the other side of it, though. Okay. Now, I know, look, Kelly's like put his way out of it. You know, that was awful performance. I blame most of that on Kelly. You say Glover came up to the game when he hit. That's a fact. But that was Sean Kelly's run that he put on base.
Absolutely.
Coda Glover came into almost he already came into a fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I got to give Coda Glover some rope. I think he still gets a crack. Sean Kelly was awful yesterday. We've already talked about how they don't trust him on back-to-back days.
And they pitched back-to-back days.
Coda Glover after that, he had an infield single and two outs. I don't think they're done with Coda Glover. Albers, I don't know if he can do the job. I think it's going to be a situation where it's going to be Albers or Glover, because I thought it was going to be Kelly and Glover sharing the thing. It might be Albers and Glover sharing it now, but I still think eventually, until they make a trade, which they do because they're a contender and they want to have a real closer to lock it up, even though Glover might be the guy of the future, I think that still Coda Glover is still the guy. And what are you going to have to spend, really, if you and other people have this angle that I want to have no part of it, then I can throw a few blocks out there on a flyer and fab, get Albers either and or Glover, and one of them ends up with a job, likely Glover, then I have a closer and I didn't spend much.
But you see people like me, I think more people are like you that are speculating every which way on Albers or Glover or even Kelly.
Leave it alone.
But I think it's me. I'm going to let you waste your fab on these guys, try to figure it out.
I agree with
how
Greg.
Much fab am I wasting?
Two or three bucks, but why even put yourself in a position to keep with this headache? It's ridiculous.
Out of a thousand, if I'm going to bid $8 or $9.
And then you're
going to
put him in your lineup and then take him out the next week.
No. Okay? I have Coda Glover in the Greenwich Street Tavern League. I drafted him. I never let go of him. He's on my bench this week. But if he eventually wins the job, I have him. If I would have bid like, say, $7 on Coda Glover last night, I put him on my bench because I think he's eventually going to be the guy. And if it happens, I didn't spend much.
I agree with both of you guys. I understand your point. But Scott's right. If you can get him for like $7, put him on your bench. It's the Washington Nationals. If I'm the Nationals, though, I'm going to do it sooner than later and acquire that relief pitcher before the market, you know, everybody starts getting involved and other, you know, get the best guy you could possibly get. I mean, determine if it's in Kansas City and it's Herrera, if it's in Tampa Bay and it's Colome. I don't see it being the White Sox and Robertson. I just don't see that. So if I were them, I'd make that move sooner than later.
I think so, too, because not only are you getting the guy for a longer period of time, but you're right. The price is probably going to be a little bit cheaper, right? Like, because you don't have teams bidding against you. You're slyly getting in there.
Here's a Dusty Baker quote that kind of speaks to what you're talking about.
Okay.
And this was in ESPN this weekend. They asked him at the beginning of the season about his closer situation. Instead of saying, these are my guys, I'll get one of them, he said, what do you want me to do? This is who I have.
and he's right.
Yeah.
And he's right. And this is why I don't want to do this. Maybe, I mean, they go to Oakland. I mean, Oakland's got a bunch of guys from Madsen and Casilla that have done it for years. Like, I know those guys don't excite anybody, but that's, I'm just.
The one thing Glover has in his corner, though, is they eventually want him to be the guy. And right now, it's too soon. That's the one thing that he has going for him is that they eventually wanted to be the closer. Is it now? Or is it later?
Yeah, but he's only got like 30 innings in major in MLB. So it's just, I think it's putting too much on him for a team that needs to make the World Series. I mean, anything besides making the World Series for this team is a failure.
Correct. 100%. 1,000%. And they have had relief issues in the playoffs before. That's why one of the guys they won't trade for is Drew Storen. Because they've had these issues.
I don't
before.
Even know if anybody wants Drew Storen. Did you see him last week? Like hit three batters in a row.
Yeah. So, like I said, ultimately, maybe next year Coda Glover's the guy. Maybe the year after Coda Glover's the guy. This year, we'll agree at this table. They're going to acquire somebody. Right?
They got to make somebody.
All four of us agree on that.
Yes. In the interim, though, if Coda Glover picks up 6 or 7 saves between now and July, and I only spend a few bucks on him, I'll take it.
That'll make you holler.
Yeah.
He is right about that. If you only spend a few dollars to get him and you put him on your bench, then that's the perfect
sale. But for me, the headache of, like, when they have a one-run lead tonight, I have no idea who's coming out. Nobody does.
But pick him up and put him on your bench.
I'd rather have it as somebody else's problem.
Exactly.
But he's not my problem right now. I have him on my bench. Not a problem.
Okay. No.
You have him on your bench. If he gets 3 saves this week, that's a problem.
Okay, but even if you start him.
That means I put him in next week.
And then if he gets blown up, and then he doesn't get a save anymore, that's a problem.
Yeah, but people are rostering Fernando Rodney, Brandon Maurer. I mean, these are guys that, even
people
if
are speculating, picking up Clippers.
Yeah. Wait. All right, but Fernando Rodney and Brandon Maurer.
They have jobs.
They're closers. Brandon Maurer has been very shaky. So
lately.
Is Rodney, but I know. In the ninth inning, they're coming out.
Maurer might be losing his job soon.
You know, Carter Capp says she got picked up in a league this week for me.
Yeah.
But you asked me to clarify my point on Glover, right? You have Glover on your bench this week.
Right.
Are you 6'10 locked time? Are you going to start him this week?
No.
Okay.
I have two other closers ahead of him.
That's fine.
Bud Norris and Jim Johnson.
And that's fine. You have Coda Glover. Let's say he has 3 saves this week.
Right.
Okay. Great. You just told me to put him in your lineup next week, right?
Right.
So it's not a problem to you that you had him on your bench and he got 3 saves. That's what you said.
No.
Okay. Next week, next Monday, he gets blown up on Monday. That's obviously a problem because he got blown up.
Look.
And on Tuesday, my problem is, on Tuesday, Matt Albers can get the save and you get nothing from Glover all week. That's a problem. I don't want to get involved in that.
But, you know, you're throwing ifs out here. It's like, well, what if they throw Albers out there 2 days this week? And he gets blown up twice.
Sure.
And Coda Glover you know, then all of a sudden starts locking things down.
Absolutely.
Then I'm glad I had him. And again, he's on my bench. He's not hurting me. And if that does happen, it's the other side of it.
I mean, I would even start him in certain leagues. I can understand in a 12-team, maybe you don't want to deal with the headache. But in a 15-team league, if I could get him on the cheap and I can put him in my lineup this week, I'm going to put him in. Because I believe he's going to get save opportunities this week.
I got a 15-teamer. I don't see a spot for him this week.
It's simply a situation we're going to have to watch. You guys can monitor it. This time the table is...
Well, I don't own any of them. I own Sean Kelly, maybe in a couple of drafted hold leagues.
Fine. Is Matt Albers out there for you?
You know what? I can't see myself taking Matt Albers. I can't see him being the guy, even though he's been successful right now.
Didn't he have a bad appearance last week?
He did, but it was all
overall the season.
It was unearned. It didn't really matter.
You know, he's getting the ground balls and all that stuff. If you're super desperate, yeah.
You know, this is another situation like we talk about. Like, they don't know who's going to guy. They're going to audition people. And I think you might want to have a piece of who they audition so that when they eventually get a guy, until they trade somebody, you have that guy. Maybe he can get you 6 to 8 saves.
As Matt said, that's right.
I would speculate on the teams that the Nationals might be trading with.
I like that.
Tommy Canely.
Yep.
Just look at those teams.
Joaquin Soria
is another guy that I tried to pick up as well this week.
In our league.
Yep, Joaquin Soria is another one.
Did you pick him up?
I did not. Yeah, I don't think. maybe Brad Boxberger comes back at Tampa Bay.
I feel a little patriotic this week.
I do as well. Something like that. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we got a lot more MLB coming your way. It's the Roto Experts in the morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network and the Fantasy Sports Network simulcasting live. So yesterday, Philly and Washington obviously played the doubleheader, and it was interesting in the first game that Odubel Herrera was benched in that game. Now, maybe he was going to split the games, but they got pissed off his manager, Pete Mackanin, for not running out a double play that he would have beaten out on Saturday. Benched in game one, and goes 1-for-5 in game number two to steal his fourth base of the year. Has my man Odubel disappointed thus far, Matt Modica?
I mean, I don't know if I'm going to call it a disappointment. I don't like the fact that he didn't hustle. That would piss me off, and I would have benched him as well. I mean, maybe I benched him 2 games.
Wow.
Because it was a doubleheader, so he might not have played both games anyway.
Because you would have just sent him out all day Sunday.
Yeah, maybe have him like come up as a pinch hitter if I needed him.
Okay, fair enough. If Tommy Joseph's available, Scott, in leagues, if he's available in a 12-team league right now, would you pick Tommy Joseph up?
I think if I needed some power, yes, but he might end up being a drain on your batting average. He's very streaky, and we often talk about context here, Greg. You're in a head-to-head league. We're in Rotos. In a head-to-head league, Tommy Joseph's going to drive you absolutely crazy because he's one of those young, streaky guys. In a head-to-head, again, there's always context. You know, who are you cutting him for? But like in a corner infield spot in a roto, I would do it. In a head-to-head, I could see why you wouldn't want to do it.
Though with Tommy Joseph, I mean, the April was just horrendous. The May has been pretty damn good.
The May, he's starting to creep back up. Yeah,
that's exactly what Tommy Joseph is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And most power hitters are, right? They're very, very streaky. Tommy Joseph, certainly not any different than that, I think.
Well, I think the average is going to be kind of low, though, compared to some other type of power hitters.
Fair enough. Corey, if Karen Rupp, is he someone that you believe can continue doing what he's doing all year long? 274 average, 367 OBP. Now, Scott was the high guy on Karen Rupp this spring. Yeah. I mean, it was always, what catch are you waiting for? Karen Rupp. That was always the answer. Corey, can this sustain with Karen Rupp here?
Can it sustain? All right, here's the thing. If it can sustain, I guess we'll have to find that out. But the thing about it is most of us play in a lot of 15-team two-catcher leagues. You got somebody batting like this?
He's not available.
Yeah, I know what I'm saying, though. What I'm saying is, he's going to be a guy that owners are going to, you know, you're going to have to rely on and depend on. So whether he can keep it up or not is not. It's kind of irrelevant. He's going to be in lineups.
Look, the thing with Rupp is that if you're getting 274 average for him, you're pretty happy. But his BABIP is 400. That's going to go down, and he can be what he was last year, which was 252 with 16 home runs. And, you know, you could certainly live with that.
Yeah, he's striking out 32% of the time also.
Well, he struck out 27.2% of the time last year.
So he's up 5%.
He's up 5%. So what? Worst, you get 245 and 15 home runs out of it?
Considering the catcher situation, you know, I mean, you'll take that any day. I mean, in certain leagues, I picked up Robinson Chirinos because I know he's not going to play every day. He's going to hit for power. He's not really going to hit for average, but I don't want a guy like Jason Castro who's just draining my batting average every day. I'd rather have Chirinos.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk like, will Jorge Alfaro come up at some point and be the guy this year? I don't think so. There's a lot of, not all of them are, but a lot of the Philadelphia pitchers, and you have to take this into account too, are comfortable with Cameron Ruff, although I do believe there was some issues with him and Eichhoff last year, but they've since corrected those.
It's funny, this time last week, Matt, we were talking about Jason Worth and how he was picked up, how he should be picked up, batting second, and now Jason Worth injured again. We all said it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he is getting up there in the years, and you know, it's one of those things. If you got him, you really got like a nice week or so out of him, and hopefully he'll be back soon. Because if they put him in that two hole, whoever goes into that two hole now is somebody I want to have. So
I did pick him up, Greg. It's I don't think the injury is major, and Dexter Fowler is the guy I cut for him because you know they've come out and said that the shoulder is still an issue, and there's an OBP and slugging percentage league that I'm in a 6x6, and Worth has put up some nice numbers.
Talking about yesterday's Cubs and Cardinals game, it was really interesting, Corey, because
it was
the. The starting pitching dynamic when it was all said and done was interesting to me. And I go to you. Because Adam Wainwright is someone that you and I have talked about a bit.
He's a bum.
That's what you said. He's a bum. 7 shutout innings yesterday against the Cubbies.
Yeah, 7 shutout against the Cubbies at home. You know what I'm saying? I think that was a good performance. But listen, I'm not putting too much behind him. We've seen Adam Wainwright so far in the season. The ERA is over 5. Not really striking batters out. Dropped on, put on waiver wise in a lot of mini leagues. Listen, you might have lost this. You know, you didn't, you know, you cut him, whatever. He's on your bench. You lost his performance yesterday, but it's more Adam Wainwright-like performances that we've seen earlier this season on the way. So I think this is kind of an outlier.
Yeah, it strikes me that way. Probably a lot of fantasy analysts that way, Greg, because this was the first time, like, he went 7 innings this year. First time he had a shutout. He only struck out 3. Yeah, it does seem a look, if he puts another start together like this again this week, people are going to start picking him up again.
The thing for me this weekend was the fact that the Cardinals rested Michael Wacha with the Cubs coming to town. They said they wanted to give him some rest. I understand that. He's had the shoulder problems in the past. But it kind of, I got to think there might be a little bit more to that. He's been pitching well. You want your top guys facing your top opponent, in my opinion. So,
yeah. The other fastball is, because like his velocity on the fastball is 90 miles per hour.
So we made the comparison last week, Adam Wainwright and CC Sabathia. I feel like it's still the same.
Sabathia had a few good outings to start the year.
I definitely would rather have Adam Wainwright.
I would also, but I don't think it's like that far, which is scary.
No, it's not.
On the other side of things, here's the more concerning part, right? Jake Arrieta. Now, Matt, you were somebody who was extremely down on Jake Arrieta coming into this year. I don't think you own him anywhere, right?
No.
So I do. And I picked him saying, listen, it's Jake Arrieta. Like, even if he's not as good as he was 2 years ago, wasn't as good as last year, like, I still think he's going to ultimately be fine. I still think he'll ultimately be a top 12 pitcher. Like, that was what, top 15 pitcher is what I was looking for Jake Arrieta. What I'm getting now is a guy that's worse than Adam Wainwright. 6 innings, 4 runs, struck out 5 yesterday. 4-3 on the year. His ERA is 5.44. He's allowing home runs very, very often.
That's the problem.
What is wrong, Matt, with Jake Arrieta?
It's the slider or cutter, however you want to define it. The first couple months of last year were excellent. He looked like Jake Arrieta. Then he stopped throwing it or threw it like half the amount of time. He was throwing that pitch those 2 years where he was really dominant 30% of the time. Now it's under 20%. And last season it took really a dramatic drop. So for him not to throw that pitch at 30% of the time as he was when he was successful, I have to think he's worried about something in his arm. It has to be something, because, I mean, he's a free agent, too.
That's what I was going to get to. If Scotty, Matt's saying that Jake's worried about something in his arm, is it possible he's pitching very, very cautiously to try to make the, you know, the one big score that he's going to have ever in his career that's coming this offseason? Is he pitching too cautiously because of that?
I don't know, because if you want the big payday, you're going to throw your best pitch. Here's the other angle of it. There was an interesting article.
If you got like, but if you tear up your UCL, you ain't get the money anyway. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, but if you're not winning, though, you're not going to get the big money. So, you know, we can talk about this with Jeff later. But yeah, there was an interesting article of David Schoenfeld from ESPN this morning breaking it down. And it's not that – so he is throwing it less, but when he's throwing it, hitters are attacking that pitch more. Now, when Jake Arrieta first came over from Baltimore, he didn't have that pitch, and that's what made him into a Cy Young Award winner. But he broke it down, David Schoenfeld, and is showing that the batters are now – they don't fear that pitch anymore. They're swinging and hitting it, and now he's got to throw the fastball more, and they're sitting on it. So – it's not just a question of throwing it less. It's also when he's throwing it, hitters are being more successful.
1.6 home runs per nine inning. That's not a recipe for success in the majors.
And the fastball is down like 2 miles per hour. So
when everybody else's velocity is up.
Yeah. So I mean, it's really concerning. I think when healthy and at 100%, he's shown he's a tremendous.
Madika, is he hurt?
I have to think. I mean, why wouldn't this guy be throwing that pitch? Why would he stop throwing it? Probably, the velocity's down. He's not throwing a pitch that, you know, made him into a Cy Young Award winner.
Is that saying when he is throwing it, though, they're hitting it more?
Well, I think like Corey was saying.
They don't fear it anymore.
Like you're saying the fact that if he needs to perform, yes. But there might, if he stays healthy this season, there might be a team that will say, you know what, I'm going to sign him for 3 years. I think last year was an aberration.
Correct.
Where it was with Corey. If he tears his UCL, he ain't getting paid by anybody. So that's the flip side that I would look at.
How many pitchers are actually going to pitch in fear, though? I mean, you know, that's something. We got a sports psychologist coming on tomorrow.
Sure.
We could talk about that because we're not in the head of a pitcher. You know, we're outside here speculating. It's all good speculation.
You used to do a little pitching.
But does a pitcher actually think like
but,
that?
Yeah, yeah, but how about this guy? I'm not saying he knows his body better than anybody else. And when he's throwing that pitch, maybe he's feeling something where he knows. This is all pure speculation. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out why.
Got a little tension in that elbow.
Why everything's trending this way. That's all.
Still striking people out, though.
Well, he was a really good pitcher. Yeah. I mean, come on. Look what the guy did for the last 2 years.
He is striking people out. I just think there's concern, and Scott, you're right. This is a question for the sports psychologist. Like, why would he, you know, be pitching in fear? Because he's in fear of losing out on all a shitload of money.
You know who else is? What was I about to say? Madika was off him, and what's the homeboy from sports? The newsletter, Joe Sheehan, was like, stay away from Jake Arrieta.
And a lot of guys said that, though. Mm-hmm. A lot of people said stay away from Jake Arrieta. I didn't get it. I really didn't.
I in my dynasty league, I kept him.
Like, you know, one of my good friends in our league was like desperate in our keeper league, desperate to trade away Jake Arrieta, desperate for it, and I didn't really understand why. He was just like, I'm telling you, he's going to have a bad year, and I got in to acquire him. I was like, all right, you guys are, I mean, Matt, you were very, very hard on this Jake Arrieta thing. I'm like, all right, I'm not going to do it in this league, and for good reason, for a very good reason. By the way, my man Tommy Pham just continues to hit.
He might be moved out of the lineup this week, though, because Piscotty's coming back.
Yeah, but we don't know if Dexter Fowler's coming back. So
he played yesterday.
But I thought he left. Oh, yeah, but pinch hit yesterday. You're right. All right. When we come back, we wrap up the show and find out what's going on the OGs. Old School Fantasy's up next. The Roto-X Piece of the Morning wraps up right after this.
We're not going to do getting jiggy with it. I can't. I cannot do getting jiggy with it.
Do you like this, Greg?
This is horrible.
Not really, no.
No.
This is real poppy Will Smith.
I don't think Big Willie style's all in it.
Yeah, getting jiggy with it.
It's danceable, though.
You just like to dance.
Yes, he can dance.
Was never a Will Smith rap fan.
Last piece of info I wanted to get out to you before we wrap up. Aaron Sanchez returned yesterday off the DL for the Blue Jays and pitched really well. Five innings of one-run ball wasn't earned. Four strikeouts, walked a couple, five hits, threw 78 pitches, 47 of which were for strikes. What do you think of Aaron Sanchez going forward, Matt?
I mean, he's a guy I would like to own. I mean, my expectations coming into the season was I didn't think he would repeat like a 3 ERA, but I thought a 350 was definitely. And I think the strikeouts, there's a possible upside there because he is an extremely good pitcher. He has good pitches. I mean, he owns that ground ball rate. That's locked and loaded. So if he can ever just increase the strikeout rate just a little, then he's really going to make a big jump.
On the other side of things, Scotty, Ariel Miranda pitched five innings and had eight strikeouts, allowed one run. Now, Miranda was someone that got blown up earlier in the week, allowed eight runs. Before that, he's been pitching relatively well. Seattle is completely decimated by injuries in the rotation, losing Hisashi Iwakuma over the weekend. Of course, James Paxton, Felix Hernandez is still out as well. So Ariel Miranda is a mainstay in this rotation that they're going to rely on. What do you think of Ariel Miranda going forward?
Four starters on the DL for Seattle, like you mentioned, Greg, and he's been serviceable. To me, he's kind of a streamer. You know, you can get maybe six, seven strikeouts in a start. I don't know if they wanted ideally have him up as part of the rotation this year, obviously. But, you know, he does have some potential, but not somebody I ideally want, you know, running out there every week as a regular starter. I like to see who he faces every week.
And that's a fair point. Not trusting him yet, I get it. But he's certainly someone, I guess, for streaming purposes, is totally fair.
Look, Matt talks about this. When you got like a six starter, you don't want him to hurt you. I think Miranda's the type of guy, once in a while, he's going to have a blow-up start where he will hurt you. So I think you got to be careful about the matchups. You know, if you just look, Blake Snell or Adam Conley, they both got sent to the minors. Mm-hmm. You know, pick up an Ariel Miranda.
Right. And pick up an Ariel Miranda, pick up my guy Jesse Chavez, who I did pick up double start this week. He's a guy that's another. A.J. Griffin's another guy. I mean, he pitched great yesterday. But all three of those guys, similar, I think.
Griffin's been good more than bad.
Yes, you know? He has.
6-0 against Oakland in his career going to DSA. They finally got a hold of him.
Yeah, and it was really only one bad inning for A.J. Griffin, too. So.
Yeah, and Zach Godley, you know, got who had two starts this week.
Yep, Godley, another one that was very, very popular on waiver wires this week. We got about 2 minutes left. Corey Parson, what's coming up next in the Old School Fantasy Hour?
Old School Fantasy Hour. We'll go through NFL waiver wire, talk about some fantasy football stuff, get some of the latest news from OTAs and rookie camps and stuff like that. We'll break that down, let you know what that means for you in 2017. Plus, we will take a look at some of this week's two-turn starting pitchers. So that's what we got coming up with the OGs of fantasy right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You have not downloaded the app. You need to do so now.
Absolutely. And certainly remember, the Road Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball Package runs all season long. Just because draft season's long over, just because we are a quarter of the way through the year, it doesn't mean you still don't need help. I need help every day. That's why I read Mike Florio's articles. I read Frank Stanfill. I read the insider reports from the King, Scott Engel. I read Tim McCullough's weekly planner because I need to plan my two starts for the week and try to figure out how to best manipulate my lineup. I read it every single Monday morning. You should too. It's Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Package available right now. Use free radio when you check out. We give you $5 off, and you'll be able to you'll be able to plan ahead better than anybody else can, Scotty.
Yeah, the weekly planner's up right now. Check out the two starts pitchers and the hitting advantages for this week from Tim McCullough.
I feel like he's just impressed that I sold the shit out of that.
You really did. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
That's going to do it for us. For Matt Modica, Scott Engel, and Corey Parson, the Fantasy Executive, my name is Greg Sussman. Old School Fantasy's up next. Have a wonderful Monday afternoon. We'll see you right back here tomorrow. 8 a.m. Eastern. The Roto Experts in the morning. Bye-bye.